Yo. Welcome back, dude, to another episode of the Yo, Yo, Yo podcast with Martin and Hooter.
¿Qué pasó, Hooter?
What is up?
That sounded like some freaking, what do you call it? One of those Icelandic countries saying Hooter.
Mm-hmm.
Or like some kind of like Viking and shit saying that shit. Somewhere in Norway.
Yeah, I fucked that up.
What's that?
I fucked that up, but it's okay.
Hooter? Has anybody called you that shit?
Hooter?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When I went to Australia.
Oh, nice.
There was a lot of Hooters out there.
A lot of Hooters.
What's up?
Oh, my God. People call me Marn sometimes.
Trevor Noah calls me Hooter. Nice, like if he calls me on the reg. You know my good old pal, Trevor Noah? You ever heard of him?
That's the guy from The Daily Show.
Yeah.
Good-looking kid from South Africa.
Yeah, exactly.
Sounds super smart.
Mm-hmm,
Yeah.
So we go way back, and he pronounces my name Hooter.
Hooter.
Mm-hmm.
Makes you sound smart as fuck.
Way smart.
We have this, this expert. His name is Hooter. Hooter madre. Some people call me Marn. Like, I think my sisters, a couple of them call me Marn. Like, Marn. Mm-hmm. And then the one that kind of tripped, like, I respond to almost anything. You know, I used to be really militant. Fucking Martin, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like, it's fucking not Martin. It's not Marty. Nobody's ever called me Marty. Yeah, I take that back. Some people call me Marty.
Mm-hmm.
But the one that kind of gets under my skin, and I don't know that why, I think it's because anytime people pronounce their T's, like with like a D.
Oh yeah.
Like Martin.
Yeah.
Kitten.
Yeah.
You know, whatever the fuck it is. It's like Martin, where the fuck, like I get everything,
from?
But like where did that D come from? Where does the T gets pronounced as a D? And it's a lot of people that do it. It's a handful of people that do it. It's enough to notice,
mm-hmm.
Oh, this person does that. And when they do it with everything that has a T, it gets pronounced with a D.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's lazy thing or it's just the way they hear it. I think a lot of it has to do with the way people hear shit.
I don't know.
Because you got to know that it sounds like Martin, or in your head you're hearing Martin.
Yeah, who knows? Those fools always trip out on that shit too.
The people that pronounce
with the T with the D.
So yeah.
I'm trying to think of another name with the T that people use a D for, but I can't think of any. Like, I get, you know those names like Wilton and Milton?
Mildon?
But I don't hear a lot of people call them Wildon.
No.
You know what I mean?
No.
So I don't know. I think... Who knows? Dude.
Who Fuck knows? It. I still know they're talking to me.
Yeah.
Speaking of fuck it, I was listening to the last episode.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because every once in a while I try to catch. Sometimes it's like I think back like, goddamn. So we've done, by the way, we did 200 episodes.
Yes.
We're over 200 episodes.
I didn't even notice.
That, you didn't notice.
I didn't.
I didn't like, either. I didn't know that was 200.
I was about to say, when we were recording 200, mm-hmm. I didn't know that it was the 200th episode.
And it's so funny because, don't let me get sidetracked. What were we talking about before this?
That you were listening to the latest podcast, or the last podcast.
Yes. Let me remember that shit. Because I'm not going to fucking remember. But 200, when we did 100, it was like such a big fucking deal, dude. Like, and 200's way more fucking impressive.
Way more.
But we were so hyped up for that fucking 100th episode.
We had the biggest party. We had the biggest guests. We needed more and more guests, dude. We were giving shit out.
It's so interesting how your perception changes. You know what I'm saying? The more of these that you do, like now you realize, like when you get to 100, you're like, oh my God, 100.
It's and like then, your 1 year old's birthday party.
You go
There's
all
a
out.
Fucking circus, a clown, a donkey. Like, bro, what the fuck is going on? This kid is asleep the whole goddamn party.
And then people start looking forward to what are they going to do for the second year?
Yeah. Eat a dick, bro.
And but then you start realizing how many, like, how little episodes that is. You know,
100. As opposed to two.
As opposed to two. And then once you hit two, you start realizing that in the big, big, giant picture, especially in podcasting. I mean, dude, Rogan, I remember when he hit 1,000. He's fucking not only hit 1,000, but he's lapped us a few fucking times.
Yeah.
He's about to hit 3,000.
Are you serious?
No, I'm just fucking around. But listen. Could you imagine? It takes them 10 years to get to 1,000, but only fucking 6 months to do 2,000 more. Yeah, he was doing like at least 50 a day.
Honestly, it fucking feels like it.
Well, you know what it is? It's alpha brain extends the day.
Yeah. Yeah, everybody else gets 24 hours, not him, dude.
But... It's like once you see, like he's at 1,000 plus, like way plus, you know, whatever the heck it is. I don't know what count he's in, but it's pretty freaking 14. Okay, so I remember when he hit 1,000, and 1,000 is a hell of a milestone. He's about to hit 14. How many? 14 and a quarter. 14.29. Do you see what I'm saying? Like 200. And again, obviously, we're not Rogan, and nobody is.
And each one of his episodes is 3 hours, dude.
Do you see what I'm saying, bro? That's like, it's
so just teabagging everybody.
So just to sit there and be like, got 100 under my, not that it's not an accomplishment. It definitely is. And the fact that you can commit to something for that long says a lot. But where's the staying power going to come from? Like, you know, and so there's in this industry, it's a lot of folks start tooting their horn really, really quick. And I think a lot of it has to do with, you just don't know. You're just ignorant.
Yeah, for sure.
It's like when comedians go on tour, like when the first tour, and they wrap the bus with their mug and then shortly realize, oh fuck, what did I do? Everybody's finding me. Then after that, you can't wait to fucking just make it an incognito bus.
So that's big picture. Think about the first time you perform outside of LA and you're posting that you're on the road.
On the road, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the... Yeah, same fucking shit.
You know what
shit.
I mean?
Yep. Anyway.
I was on the road, dude.
Yeah.
My 2 weeks in, I went on the road. I remember... Bro, I pissed off so many people. The first week was in the books, and I was murdering at open mics. Mm-hmm. And then I had a rude awakening at one of George Perez's rooms. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I bounced back at the open mics. And, dude, I swore I was fucking killing it, dude.
Why has nobody discovered me?
And the worst part
is... How am I not signed?
You know what I think?
Where the fuck is Comedy Central with a special?
Where are they? What's taking them so long? The fuck?
Hasn't word got out?
Yeah, do they not know how to spell Hooter?
Is it Hooter? Are they looking for a motherfucker named Hooter?
Hooter? Dude, so I feel like I'm killing it. But I think when you first start, you're so fucking nervous to go on stage, and you're so scared of eating shit that as long as you get a few laughs, you think you did good. Mm-hmm. And so that carries over, like, oh fuck, I didn't bomb, I must have fucking killed it, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's your mentality when you first start. But this comic was like, yo bro, I'm taking off tomorrow and I'm hitting Visalia for the weekend, and it was like Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I think he was gonna come home Sunday, right? And he was like, let's go, bro. And I'm like, well, I'm a comic now, dude, so yeah, this is a road gig, it's fucking time to go. And at the time I was working at fucking God. Yeah, dude, at the time I was working, and I had maybe 3 minutes, dude, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But I was ready to fucking go. So that night, we had just got done with the show, and he hit me up, and he was like, let's roll up. If you're down to go,
listen, I'll kill. So if you're ready to go on the road,
if you're ready to take those 3 minutes with you on the road,
this is your time, but you got a decision to make.
And open for me? let's roll. And I was like, well, fuck, this is what it's all about, dude. Who knows? Maybe there's going to be a big time guy in fucking Visalia
who's
going to fucking, yeah, who's going to just fucking, you know, discover me out there.
A lot of people have been discovered out there.
And bro, I was working a day job at Fluffy's Warehouse. Mm-hmm. And I remember texting that fool late as fuck that night after the show. Hey, so gonna head up, gonna go on the road tomorrow, not gonna be able to make it in for the rest of the week.
What a douchebag.
And then I said, but don't worry, I'll be back by Monday.
Hashtag killing it.
Hashtag on the road.
Hashtag road gig.
Hashtag bro, you, hashtag you get it, bro.
Road dog, bro.
I'll tell you right now, if you're wondering if he responded, fuck no, he didn't, dude. Okay?
Oh, he just say, oh, shit, kill it, Hooter.
Bro, that fool did not respond.
You taking merch?
Dude, take some of my DVDs with you. Try to push those, too, for some extra cash.
Oh, my God.
So, bro, I just take off, though. I don't even worry about it. I'm like, bro, I'm a fucking Rolling Stone now, poppies.
Yeah.
I go, do my 3 minutes. I'm fucking murdering in Visalia, dude. And after that, dude, when I
got
get
so good, I did 4.5.
Bro, yep. I started stretching up there, dude. And bro, when I got back home, I fucking swore. Like, bro, that was the road. I'm on the road now. I'm fucking good to go, bro. I'm ready. This is it. I'm in it, dog.
When's the next one?
Yeah.
Where are we going now?
What's the next road gig, bro? And I remember going back into work on Monday.
Now, did you go get a suitcase? How many pairs of shoes did you take for the week? Yeah.
No shit. I had so many fucking outfit changes, dude. Fucking guy. Unreal, dude.
You took your goddamn tweezers.
No, I had. This is how much
did you get your eyebrows done before you left?
Oh, you know, no, because I didn't have enough time, but I already had those fucking going for the show that I did that night. But dude, check it out. This is how much of a fucking doucher I was. I had different colored earrings to match whatever I was wearing.
No.
Dude. Yeah, so if I was wearing black, then I was going to wear black earrings, dude, and black shoes and shit. Jesus Christ.
But that is whack, dude.
Bro.
You were matching your earrings to your shoes? Holy fuck. Bro.
Brutal. Taking pictures all weekend, talking about on the road, road life.
Now, were you making sure to get the shoes and the earrings on the same shot so people could see?
Yeah, I'd put my leg up like if I was stretching to get them in the pic.
Oh, my God.
No, dude, it was fucking out of control, bro. So, nice. That's hilarious. Dude.
What's that?
This fool, the Google search this fool did. But am I gay? Maybe.
Oh my God.
No, but
it's that male, it's that fucking toxic male masculinity coming at you right now.
Toxic.
Calling you gay because you match.
Yeah. God forbid.
This motherfucker.
But dude.
Canceled.
I remember coming back, bro. I felt like I was killing it. I was ready. I was like, fuck, I better tell Fluff right now that I'm probably gonna take off this Thursday too, dude. And I remember, bro. I remember, dude, that fool.
He showed up with a Rimowall. Here you go. You might need one of these.
Yeah.
Got you a tag, too.
You selling t-shirts yet? I'll hook you up with the merch guy.
Oh, my God.
That fool, dude, did fucking hit me up. And he had a whiteboard in the fucking warehouse.
Uh-huh.
And that fool left a little message talking about dreams do come true, but you got to take care of shit before something to the extent of, hey, dumbass, do not give me a few hours heads up before you dip out on your work to go fucking,
God.
You know. But yeah, that was my first road God. Experience.
To go do Vito's backyard.
Yeah. Don't be leaving your work hanging just so you could go fucking perform and do 3 minutes, guy.
Oh, my God.
But, boy, did I grow that weekend.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Bro, I was signing autographs and shit, dude.
Shut up.
It was
the
fucking
fuck
insanity.
Up.
Yeah, I'm telling you, when I came back home, I was like, fuck.
I made it.
This is it, bro.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on the fucking fast course. I'm in the fast lane.
Oh, dude. Yeah, yeah. This is the accelerated program.
Yep.
Fuck all that other shit. Years. What are you talking
about?
What are
you guys talking about, bro?
100 episodes. King of the podcasters.
Yep.
It's out of fucking ignorance, you know? And again, no knock on anybody because it's good to get excited. And it's good to get excited about accomplishing something. And it's like, yeah, you're about to hit it. No big deal. No big NBD. Deal. I feel like that's what happens. Like, people start feeling like they can't celebrate things because people knock it. You know what I mean? Like, I was talking to a mutual friend of ours, and I'll tell you who it is after the podcast. But I told him that I had seen a Valentine's video that he had done, and that it was pretty clever the way he incorporated hearts into the video for the holiday, right? And he goes, oh, I went all out for Valentine's this year. I go, what are you talking about? He said, I sent my my girlfriend flowers every day leading up to Valentine's, and then I got these mason jars, and I filled them with her favorite candy leading up to Valentine's. Like, it was like really well thought out, like, shit that
on the third day of Valentine's my crush gave to me a bucket full of candy. Come on, man.
And I'm like, who the fuck am I talking to right now, bro? What happened to blah blah blah? You know, I think you know who I'm talking about, maybe. You do or you don't?
Mm-mm.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Oh no.
Yeah. And again, I don't want to put him on blast.
Yeah.
All right. Cause he was so happy. And but I was like, bro, all that shit you used to talk and all this. It's like it flipped on him. You know, because usually you do that shit when you're young and inexperienced, mm-hmm. not when you're older and you've been around the block. But then again, I guess everything that you've done in the past shouldn't affect the way you approach things now. Just because you're jaded, now you got to expect that this person that you're with is fucking jaded too.
Yeah.
But by the same token, and if you found somebody who's excited about the flowers every day and the jars every day, then you two deserve each other.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? Because, like, I need somebody that says, yeah, fuck, I don't need all that shit.
Also, though, dude, it's, I guess who the fuck am I saying it's too much, right?
You're who tough.
It's me. Like, that's me.
You were on the road one weekend.
One weekend, bro.
Your opinion matters, motherfucker.
Yeah, yeah.
Speak
you know
your
what?
Mind.
You're right.
Do not apologize for your goddamn wisdom.
No, look, here's the deal, guys.
Oh, yeah.
All right, bro. Look, you know what it's kind of like? You know what it's like?
I don't know what's it like. What's it like?
It's kind of.
Tell me what's it like.
Okay. It's after your. Okay. So remember the first time you got your dick touched?
I'm fucking sweating. No, I don't.
You were pumped up.
Yeah, okay.
Would imagine, right?
I said, hey, my sister's Nino. What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah. What are you doing? When you wanted your dick to get touched, it got touched.
Yes. Amazing.
You were pumped up.
Oh, dude. Right? The first,
you couldn't wait to tell people.
The first time somebody swallowed, the first time somebody ever swallowed, I was like, what the fuck? This person loves me.
Gotcha. Okay, you know, okay, yeah.
Like that.
So that, right?
Yeah.
But then, so you're pumped up. You couldn't wait to tell everybody.
You, like, no girl has ever let you put it in her ass or touch her ass or nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Nobody's ever licked your butt. Anyway, go ahead.
Yes,
I get it.
Yes. So after that, once it starts happening a few times with other chicks, it's like, oh, well, yeah, you know, that's what I like. So that's what's happening. Mm-hmm. But the first time you were pumped up, you couldn't wait to tell all your homies, yo, you guys aren't going to believe this shit.
Right.
But then after the
fourth,
fifth
time, kids,
like,
and this is
going like,
to sound,
oh, fuck.
This is going to sound crazy, but you know how many dudes didn't wash, the first time they fingered a chick, they came back and said, fucking smell my finger.
Dude, I didn't. I didn't wash.
Dude, people, and even if they didn't tell people smell my finger, they kept smelling
my finger. Oh, my, bro. The first time I fingered the chick, I was so happy, bro.
Yeah.
So happy, dude. Oh, dude, like, yeah. I couldn't believe, bro. Yeah, I couldn't believe it was happening. Like, I was so fucking happy. And first thing I did was fucking go tell my homies.
What? Toxic male fucking.
Smell my finger, bro.
Smell my So, but again, it's like I'm listening to him say all these things that he did for Valentine's Day. And I'm like, what? How the fuck did we get there?
What's he going to do next year? Start in January?
Bro, I don't know. But I just thought it was interesting because, again, you usually get into all that shit in your younger years. Later on in life, you don't. But then again, there's
a lot of dudes, bro.
Dude, I've done it. I've done it, and I did it into, was I in my 40s? I might have been in my 40s. I might have been, like, I did a lot of stuff early on, too, dude. I did ositos with the chain. Oh, dude, I did it. Look, you know what it is, dude?
And that was pre-Instagram, so okay. I feel that's worse, dude.
No, it's not.
Because, yes, it is.
No, because now you know. I didn't have any experience back then. All I knew was what was in front of me and what was told to me. Okay, for instance, I started going to the gym again. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I say that. That's relevant because.
Yeah, I love it. Let's talk about fucking Valentine's Day.
So guess how much tea costs in China? Fucking it. Okay, so I started going to the gym again.
Huda. NBD.
And no big deal, you know.
That's neither here nor there, but listen. Back to what we were talking about.
Did you say that's neither here nor there? It's neither here nor there. But point is, to go to the gym, you need to put on your gym clothes, right? And there was a time in my life where I was a gym rat. Like, I was gym. As a matter of fact, most of my life I've existed in gyms. Like, and you once you go to a gym and you go regularly, you get to know the people in that gym. I don't know if you've gone to a gym long enough to establish relationships.
Like, hey, what up? And it's the homie who fucking lifts too much, and it's the other homie who fucking runs too much.
Correct. Yeah. I've gone to many gyms. I've lived in a lot of places. I've had home gyms, and you know, one of the places that I started going to was Rolling Hills, a racket club. Back that was the first gym I ever joined, and you knew who everybody was, you know.
That was a racket.
We'd have me and Eddie, my neighbor, used to go, and we'd have nicknames for some of the people there, right? Because of, and we used to call this dude Arms because all he would do was arms, right? And so then after that, I think I started going to a gym on PCH. It must have been like a one of those like Bally's or one of those fucks, right? Mm-hmm. And I got to know almost everybody there, right? And mm-hmm. so like I said, you start developing this sense of community. Now, my last gym stretch is when I was living in Santa Monica and I was going to the gym on the 3rd Street Promenade. All right, so now the fucking, if you went to that gym, chances are you could afford like some serious, you had the right stuff. Everybody in there had a trainer, everybody had a fucking supplement program. Everybody's like fucking doing business deals while they fucking, you know, while they bench press. And the thing that, okay. Everybody had outfits, mm-hmm. like gym outfits, mm-hmm. you know, like matchy gym outfits, yes. you know? And at the time I would go and I would see all this shit. And remember the other day I said, I'm trying not to give a fuck and I try not to match my shit?
Yes.
Okay, so that's a new thing because clearly when I went through, and I didn't even realize this at the fucking time, okay? But when I went through my closet, not my closet, but my drawer where my workout clothes is.
Jesus, dude, what the fuck?
And I found my gym clothes, mm-hmm. you know, because you have your gym clothes. Mm-hmm. I found at least 3 goddamn outfits. Like, okay, the shorts are blue with black little fucking, splatter stripes, you know, not stripes, okay. but like, and then the shirt is Nike with the same fucking design, and it goes with that. And yes. of course, I used to wear that with Nike socks and Nike shoes because God forbid, right. you put on Champion shorts with a Nike shirt and some Adidas shoes. Mm-hmm. You don't match, right? So I purposely would match my fucking gym outfit. Mm-hmm. Had a fucking white one. I had a fucking gray one. I had a fucking blue one. I had a few of these fucking things, right?
Right.
And now that I started going back, I'm like, wait a minute. I can't put this shit on. Like a goddamn outfit. So now I'm switching them with other salt. Like, listen to me.
Like a fucking Rubik's Cube. You're the fucking, you're a gym outfit sweating. Rubik's Cube.
I don't know why I'm sweating up a fucking storm. Is that
because you're thinking about the
here?
Gym. That's why, dude.
Can I get a water? Yeah, I am fucking
burning
up.
And a gym towel? You don't have a fucking color gym towel to match your shirt today, dude?
Okay, listen. But my point to that is that I learned that. Somebody taught me that. You know what I'm saying? It's not like in my head, I was like, I got to match. But I remember growing up hearing my sister say, that doesn't match. That doesn't match. Like, I could give a fuck. If somebody told me that doesn't match, it's because I didn't give a fuck that it didn't match. But because they told me, and then not only did they tell me, but it got reinforced with when I dated somebody and I try to put on a fucking, you know, Calvin Klein t-shirt with some Levi's and they're like,
bro, it feels like I'm in a fucking Tarantino movie, bro. You were talking about the first time you went to the gym. You were talking, dude, you went back in time to current time to back in time. Bro,
I'm telling you that I was gonna tie it into the goddamn conversation.
How?
Because we were just talking about Valentine's Day.
So
dude. With the Valentine's Day, it didn't come from me. It was something that was taught to me, just like fucking matching. Matching was something that was taught.
Right.
Valentine's
okay.
was something that was taught.
Yes.
It's something that was told that this is what you're supposed to do during this holiday. Mm-hmm. So, of course, I was doing it. I was following like a little fucking sheep. Because this is what happens on this day. You cook dinner. You do candlelight. You get a teddy bear. You get fucking candy. You get overpriced flowers. And then one day you wake up and you're like, wait a minute, what the fuck is this? And it's the same thing with the matching, you know, because there was that one time where you wouldn't leave the fucking house without matching earring to your fucking shoes. You yes. could give a fuck less. You don't even have an earring anymore. Your right. goddamn hole's closed.
Yes.
You know, so, but again, it's something that's taught. It has nothing to do with what we want to do. So when you look at me and you say, how could, what were you thinking, blah, blah, blah. It was a taut response. And I was doing it because I wasn't smart enough to figure out that it was something that was programmed into me.
But also,
do you see what I'm saying?
I do see what you're saying, but I don't think that's
also,
the right
angle.
Also,
I went back to the gym.
Yeah. Bro. So the first time I started working out, it was on the playground. I did my first pull-up.
Okay.
Like, what? Well,
here's the thing. Like, I feel a lot stronger than I did the last time. Ever since the shoulder surgery, mm-hmm. like, I was working with 5 pounds, dude. I was fucking around with 5 pounds. 10 pounds was the heaviest. I went back, and now that I'm back. I'm doing triceps with 40 pounds, which isn't a lot, but it's not like 5 pounds, you know what I mean? It's still 40 fucking pounds. I was doing sets of 10 to 15 reps with like 80 to 100 pounds of triceps. I'm 50 fucking three. Mm-hmm. I got no fucking business.
Then why do you do it to yourself?
No, but I'm just saying I'm not going to do 100 pounds anymore. Like, that's probably how I tore my fucking shoulder trying to fucking lift this crazy amount of weight. Where it's like, what the fuck are you doing, bro? Like, why? You're over here trying to match?
Yeah.
And God forbid you have a plastic water bottle at the gym.
Oh, fuck them.
You know what I'm saying? Like, people will judge. Like, imagine, you know how they say go boomer or okay boomer?
Okay boomer.
Imagine you're a dude at the gym and you're fucking thinking you're fucking all chingon, you know? And then you go try to talk to a woke chick and you're holding a plastic water bottle. Before you say anything, that person was going to dismiss you based on your plastic water bottle. Do you know what I mean?
I did get what you mean, but that's crazy talk, dude.
Well, plastic is fucking up, dude. I'm
rocking two.
To what? Yeah, I got a glass one and then I got a plastic one. Because you know what? A lot of times, we talked about the plastic episode, right? All the oceans are filled with plastic. Mm-hmm. we use our, we have like reusable bags and we use them, you know,
we use them. Because otherwise you have to pay. So everybody's like, fuck that. I'm not going to pay. Mm-hmm. Let me just bring this shit.
And as much as we try to use them every single time, there are times that you don't have them, that you forgot them.
Yeah, there's times when you don't plan on going to the store.
You don't plan on going. So I would say that in my home, which is only three people, mm-hmm. you know, it's only three people in my home, we use reusable bags, I want to say more than 80% of the time, which it should be 100%, but it's not, okay?
Yeah.
But with that said, even with that, the amount of plastic bags that accumulate, because then you get them, and for some reason, I don't know why, you start holding them. You start hoarding them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And maybe we're the only ones. I don't think we're the only ones. There's people that fold them.
Yeah.
There's people that fold them into triangles. There's people that put them inside each other. Mm-hmm. There's plastic bags in somebody's drawer. Mm-hmm. There's a drawer specifically for the plastic bags in some homes. You know? And so we, like I said, we accumulate a good amount of these fucking things. And I find myself with a pile of these and I'm like, what are we going to do with these? What the fuck are we going to do with these fucking plastic bags? And then you feel like I'm going to throw them away, but then you feel like a dick because you're like, okay, now I'm going to make it somebody else's fucking problem, you know, because I don't know what to do with them. Fuck, they're still perfectly fine. They're perfectly fine functioning plastic fucking bags. But now, and again, I don't know why it shouldn't fuck with me, but it does because I'm thinking.
I was about to say, dude, your fucking brain is just too fucked. Here's the
thing.
You,
here's the
my
thing,
friend.
Because I start thinking, Hooter, if me, who I'm consciously making an effort, how much, and it's only three of us, how much plastic is the family of five that's making no goddamn effort? Oh, where they don't, where they're like, fuck it, here's plastic bags till you fucking die. Take it. We don't give a fuck.
Dude.
Do you know what I mean?
I get it, but that's that shit is exhausting. You got to let that shit go, bro.
It's, well, went back to the gym. And again, I started realizing, again, with the whole matching thing, I'm like, what the fuck, dude? I was literally going to the gym with a fucking outfit. Bro.
Ready for a home game.
Bro, you know what I mean? Like a uniform. And the crazy part about it all, right now that I think that when we performed in the Bahamas years ago, I was out there with Gabriel, and there's a club out there, and it's a ridiculous vacation. A lot of like somebody like Gabe, you know, probably lost money going there that weekend, but he got a ridiculous vacation for his entire, you know, crew.
Yeah.
And so we're at this fucking resort, Atlantis, at the Atlantis Resort, and talking about
Gabe outfits matching going to the gym fuck me.
Just checking if you're paying attention. And Magic Johnson was staying at the same place, right? Mm-hmm. And so to buy a day pass for the gym, you know, a lot of times the hotels give it for free. I think this one you have to pay X amount of dough, so it's like probably people that had dough were the ones that were working out, people that needed to work out. And I saw Magic in there. People kept saying, oh, Magic Johnson. I caught Magic Johnson at the gym. And it's like, oh, no shit. And, you know, it's not like you're going to go bug him, but it's still kind of cool to see fucking Magic Johnson fucking, you know, on the treadmill and shit.
For sure.
So I remember going in there, and I was in that gym every fucking day. This is when I was, like I said, a fucking gym rat. And I saw him on the treadmill. And he had a busted-ass shirt that looked like it was about maybe fucking 15 to 20 years old, if not more. Mm-hmm. It's those shirts that even if you clean it and you wash it, it still looks dirty. It's not dirty, but it looks dirty. Mm-hmm. Like the dirt has become a permanent part of this fucking material, right? And so he had that shirt, and then he had some fucking shorts that looked like he's had them for fucking ever.
Since Showtime.
Right? And I saw him. And it's not like you're checking out what he's fucking wearing, but at that time I was wearing outfits, right? And I see this motherfucker, and that's Magic Johnson. Magic Johnson fucking, you know, because there's motherfuckers in the gym wearing Lululemons. Mm-hmm. They're wearing their leggings. It's a fashion show at some of these fucking gyms, you know? Magic is wearing, the next day I see Magic. Magic's got the same shirt And the same fuck. Remember when you used to do PE in school?
Yeah.
And you put your gym clothes in the fucking thing and you just reuse them. It's the same thing. Like, why do I have to have a matching new shiny outfit every time I go to the fucking gym? You know why I do?
Because Magic is there to work out, bro. That's why.
He's not there for the fashion show.
Exactly.
And what? And I was there to work out too. No. But I, Hooter,
slash
listen.
Fashion show.
No. You just feel like because everybody's doing this, you start following that goddamn trend. And
that's
I realized.
Weak-minded, bro.
Very much so. But oh, said the motherfucker matching earrings.
Yeah, but that was 20s. You're yes. talking about yes. this Magic Johnson store. You were yes. 35, guy.
Yeah. How many?
45.
Maybe 35.
No. Dude, come on.
Anyway, like I said, it's having to deprogram. It's having to deprogram from all those years of hearing, that doesn't match, you can't wear that. That doesn't match, you can't wear that. And now I'm overcompensating for that shit. The trauma that happens to our fucking brains when they tell you this is what you have to fucking do.
You know who helped me with that, dude?
Who?
I stopped kind of giving a fuck. And it was even before kids.
Uh-huh.
The $20 chef. Bro, I'm telling you, man, this fucking guy was there for my goddamn, what are those years called? When it kind of molds you into a formative, bro. Mm-hmm. That fool, dude, what a guy to mm-hmm. have, you uh-huh. know? Because, dude, I stopped giving a fuck.
It you had like, the cool dude. Stepdad without him banging your mom.
1,000%. But this fool used to always tell me he was banging my mom. So,
so you didn't know if it was true or not.
Yeah, yeah. Bro, this fool used to leave the house to go to the grocery store not giving a fuck. There was times where it looked like he had a fucking sock on his head, bro. And he'd just leave and not give a fuck, bro. He wouldn't. Dude, there was times when I wouldn't leave the house. Like, if I didn't shower, if I had basketball shorts or some shit, there was no way in fuck. Dude, he'd have basketball shorts, fucking hiking boots, a tank top, and a beanie. He didn't give a motherfuck, dude. Still hitting on chicks at the produce section, bro. He didn't give a fuck. And he'd pull numbers. And that's when I realized.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't fucking matter. No,
it doesn't fucking matter. It's like, but see, you got to understand that you grew up in a way more accelerated culture than somebody like me. So for you, your 20s for you is like my 30s, even my 40s for me, with the amount of information that you have available to you. Like, we didn't have any of that. We like literally thought a lot. We literally thought that whatever the fuck our parents said was goddamn true. Mm-hmm. And we took that shit as gospel truth. Now, there's still people that still do that. And the reality is that it wasn't. It was a lot of fucking bullshit that was passed down to them. So again, it's you had a different... you were exposed way quicker to a lot of things.
And like my adult years, dude, like from 18 to 23, because I had Meeks at 23. So from 18 to 23, because once Meeks came, I was already moved out from everybody. But mm-hmm. from 18 to 23, dude, it was just living with a bunch of dudes who didn't give not one motherfuck mm-hmm. and a lot of just bagging and fuck it.
Like, To give you another like comparison, like when I grew up, motherfuckers were trying to impress girls with cars.
Mm-hmm.
Like they thought so, and which is even way more in a way more expensive price tag than a goddamn outfit
yeah.
ever will be.
No, you dude.
But
all my homies mm-hmm. that weren't because I moved. Mm-hmm. All my homies stayed in La Habra, and I left, and I was living in Long Beach with everybody and Lakewood. Mm-hmm. But all my homies who stayed over there, dude, mm-hmm. that was their pickup.
What's that?
The fucking cars, the money, the fucking jewelry, all that shit.
They assumed
that's what was given. Yeah. Yes. Well, homie Steve-O, he went to go buy a fucking BMW, dude. He had no business buying it. And I remember the day that he was like, fuck, dude, I'm putting so much money into this fucking BMW. It was like a 2006. At the time, it was like 2012, 2013. And he was like, dude, I'm losing so much money on this fucking car. And I'm like, why the fuck do you have it? He was like, for chicks. I'm like, are you fucking crazy? Dude, you're handsome as shit. You think your car is getting you chicks?
You can show up in a goddamn bus.
I was like, bro, how many chicks have gotten in your car just because of your car? And he was like, well, one chick... And I was like, okay, how long have you had the car? And he was like, 6 years. I'm like, Dude, then what the fuck you holding it on? What are you still holding on to it for?
Yeah.
You out of your fucking mind? You have a beard and you're tall. You think you need a fucking BMW?
It's, again, he didn't think that as a person. He was taught that. He was taught that by older brothers, by friends.
Tell you right now, the $20 chef of butt fucking chicks in the back of a Jeep Liberty whose fucking shotgun door wouldn't open, bro. I'm telling you, this fucking guy taught me nothing matters, bro.
See, so again, not a lot of people get that. And so it's one of those things, like, again, I like growing up with a sister who was so ultra-focused. I mean, ultra-focused to detail and things that have to match, you know? Even, like, bro, like, Calvin
Brands.
Brands, you know, like Louis Vuitton and fucking, what's another expensive fucking brand? Like Versace. Prada, Gucci, Versace, whatever, yeah. Versace, Louis Vuitton.
Versace.
Is that how it is?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't fucking know.
You have some balls calling it Versace.
You have some balls correcting me. That's some Trivial Pursuit shit.
The battle of the balls. Whose balls are bigger?
Okay. But again, it's like, who's that dude, that rapper, the 2 Chainz?
2 Chainz.
You know, I wear Gucci, I wear Prada at the same damn time. Like, that's rebellious because you're doing these fucking things at the same damn time.
You're wild, boy.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, no, that doesn't match. To the point where there's motherfuckers, like women get fast with matching underwear. Not all of them, but Victoria's Secret made a killing with matching fucking underwear.
Sets, yeah.
You know, with the set. This bra goes with these panties. And these panties go with this bra. And this shit goes with this. And this shit goes with, because you have to buy two. You can't just get one. It's a fucking set, you fuck.
Yeah.
How are you only going to take one, you motherfucker?
You fucking Neanderthal.
You fucking animal.
What are you, caveman, bro?
The fuck is wrong with you?
Here's a rag. Cover yourself with that, might as well, dude.
Get a potato sack. Make some holes in that motherfucker.
Yeah.
The fuck is wrong with you, you piece of shit? Happy Valentine's
Day. Can I say this hilarious fucking story, dude?
Yeah, please.
On Sunday, everybody was meeting at the Nina's house, which is the sisters that my dad's talking about who influenced him to match, and now he's pissed, and now he's rebellious, so thank you, Diaz. But we're all going to be there on Sunday, and I was running late as per usual because I have 3 kids, and it's a fucking mission to get them all together and ready at the same time.
Uh-huh.
And so we're pulling up, dude.
Oh, my God.
And as we're pulling up to park, I see my dad outside, dude. And I fucking tap Pilla, and I'm like, yo, look at my dad. This was probably about to smoke a bowl. Totally fucking around, right? Like, ha, ha, ha. Like, because, you know, you smoking weed, like, that's just funny, you know? Like, oh, yeah, like, you could have been going to the car because you forgot something, right?
I forgot something, yeah.
And I was like, hey, imagine this just started smoking a bowl right now. Mm-hmm. And she laughed, of course, because it was like, oh, ha, 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 right?
Mm-hmm.
So then you come to the car, and I tell you what I just said. And sure as shit, my dad starts dying, dude. And he's like, look, you motherfucker. And he opens his palm, and it's a fucking ball, dude. He's about to hit it. And I'm like, oh, my God. That is hysterical, dude. And it's so funny because
I think it's horrible that I have to go outside. Nice. The disrespect from my sisters.
How do they not have a volcano for me now?
How they haven't set up a little vape system is beyond me. Oh, but a bunch of banners for the party.
And you know what was so funny, dude?
What's that? Because
you went outside to smoke, and I was like, fuck, that's hilarious. But as I was outside on my way inside, I was giving my kids the fucking rundown of how to act. You know what I mean? So I told fucking Meeks, I was like, yo, no dumb shit. Don't be acting crazy. You already know. Uh-huh. And then you were holding Mateito, so I was able to get this in before we got in, which was fucking perfect. And I was like, yo, son. And he was like, what? And I said, hey, man, don't be talking no crazy shit inside. You hear me? And then that fool looked at me and said, no bad words at Nina Weezy's house. And I'm like, motherfucker, if you know, why are you announcing it, dude? And my dad starts cracking up, and I'm like, no, dude, no bad words, no craziness, no fighting, don't be crazy. Okay. Oh, and so we but it was hilarious that you went outside to do that, and I went out, like, when I was outside, I was giving them the rundown, like
yeah, behave.
I'm inside this house, dude.
You behave.
You behave, monkeys.
It's the, you know what, and my sister runs a tight house. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a very, I don't want to put her on blast. There's nothing wrong with it. But there is just no hanky panky going on, you know.
No, and look,
there's, dude, no debauchery going on. Yeah.
And look, if that's how you're gonna run your house, I'm coming to your house.
Yes,
right.
And so I'm gonna
respect your house and the way you run shit. Yes,
but if you come to my house, don't ask me why there's a volcano.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Chilling there. That I'm real big on that, dude. That, like, look, if you're gonna do shit your way at your house, I have the choice to go over your house, and I know going in what is allowed and what's not, or not even allowed, but what you're comfortable with.
What's acceptable.
What's acceptable. I don't want to make you uncomfortable at your own house.
100%.
You know what I mean?
100%.
And so, and that's how I fucking tell my kids, like, look, man,
if you guys are vegan, I'm not showing up with carnitas.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And a fucking leather outfit. Look, dude. And I tell my kids the same shit. Look, man, you can't make people uncomfortable with your actions. Like, look, here, it's cool. You could do certain things. But when you go to other people's house, some people aren't cool with that shit. And you got to respect it. And
an elk head as a trophy for a gift.
Yeah. Okay. Here you go. Hang it up whenever you feel. I'll come hang it up for you.
I got some more, and I got to find a great taxidermist. And yeah, but yeah, no, you're absolutely right. You gotta respect the people's, whatever the fuck they do there, that's what they do.
Like in high school, respect the pad, bro.
That's it. Yeah, dude. So again, like I said, not knocking the way that she does it. That's her prerogative. That's her home, and that's what works for her.
Yeah.
So yeah, you know, you go in there and you fucking behave.
Yeah.
You know. So you finally came through. I was actually talking to the $40 chef the other day, and I said, you know,
every week the budget just gets higher.
I go, Hooter took me out to this, you know, cause he's always cooking shit. And I go, I went to the most fucking coolest fucking spot the other day. Hooter took me to this place called Carnitas El Momo. Mm-hmm. And he goes, and so I start describing it to him, and I go, yeah, I go, this motherfucker's been promising to take me there for months. I feel like he's getting back at me for all the times I told him I'd pick him up and take him somewhere and then show up. Now I'm like fucking looking out the windows. Is Hooter coming? Is Hooter coming? Is Hooter here?
He said Monday.
No. Something came up. He has work. I go. So, you know, finally decided, oh, yeah, this is the day.
That's hilarious.
I'm going to take this motherfucker. So I start explaining to him the fucking spot, and he was fucking dying, bro. So thank you, first of all, for taking me to the fucking spot.
Yes, of course.
It's fucking delicious. It's easy to fuck up carnitas.
Yeah.
You could dry them out and you could burn them, or fast. They're not cooked right, you know, so, or they're not seasoned. There's so many ways to fuck them up, you know, and there's different, you know, sometimes you just get the carnitas. Sometimes you get cueritos. So there's different facets to the carnitas, you know?
Yeah.
It's like a steak. You can get a boneless, or you get a bone in, you get a tomahawk, you know, and the quality is going to be so fucking different. So with this one, everything that you typically get from somebody knows what the fuck they're doing, they covered the fucking base with that.
So they have three different, I don't want to say cuts because it's
not parts of the pig.
Yeah, parts of the pig. And it's the first one's maciza, which is shoulder. The second one is cuero, which is skin. And then the third one is buche, which still to this day, I don't know what the fuck buche is. And I know that if I say something, a bunch of folks are going to correct me. Oh, buche's not that. It's fucking actually.
If you had a guess, what would you think the buche was?
I don't know.
If you had a wild guess.
I used to think that it was the stomach lining, but it's not. And no. Then I've heard that it's the inside of the skin, which, what the fuck is cuero? Because sometimes you get a piece of cuero and you see the little nipple right there. So you're like, oh, well, this ain't it. So I don't know what buche is.
And then
I heard that it was pork belly. I don't think that's what it is.
It's not. If I had to guess, I would say the part under the snout, like under the like the neck.
Where it has all the rolls right there?
Yeah. I that would be my guess, and I don't know. That's just fucking throwing it out there. If anybody does know, hit us up and let us fucking know.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what anyway, it's delicious.
So when you pull up, you ask them, or they ask you which parts you want. And you could either get just the meat, the shoulder.
Which is what most people, like when you order the carnitas, most people that don't know. It's
the safe route.
It's this, and it's like if you've never tried it done in an old school way, it's probably the only thing that you know.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And so you could get each one and you could get just buche, or you could get just cuero, or you could get just maciza. But the problem is.
Is that snout the buche?
No. Look up.
No, because that's the trompa.
Yeah, that's trompa.
They do tacos de trompa.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they do tacos de
What pork is buche stomach. Mean? What the fuck does that say?
Tacos de buche, pork stomach tacos.
Really?
But see, I've always heard that that's wrong.
Yeah, so I don't think knows. It's stomach. Anyway, fuck it. Anyway. So you can ask for whatever the fuck you want.
But I really enjoy the mix, when they put all three together, when they mix all three together. And it's to me, it's the best because you get so much flavor, dude.
Sure.
So that's what we got. We got a pound. But, dude, this fucking place, it's not your regular spot, dude. It's a goddamn.
It's an operation. That's the only way to fucking describe it. Like these, I was fascinated, because these motherfuckers shut down the sidewalk, like in front of their
and
pad. I don't even know if it's a pad or an apartment building. It looks like an apartment building, to be honest.
It looks like one of those pads where like a family just has families and nobody moves out, so they just turn it into like fucking townhomes. You know what I'm talking about?
Who knows? It might have been an apartment building and they connected it all. Who knows? For I don't know what it looks inside. Yeah. From the outside, it looked like it looks like a small apartment building to me. Mm-hmm. And it's right next to an alley.
Yes.
And it's at the side. It's not the middle of the sidewalk, but it's starting off and pretty close to the edge. And fucking, but they take over that whole thing in front of this building with their tents and their meat. And
if you're walking with a stroller or a fucking wheelchair,
you got to go around on the street.
Yeah. You're not getting through.
Dude, you're not going to say, excuse me.
No.
And expect that they're going to move the whole goddamn thing. This is a process to move this fucking thing. You know, it's like if you have a goddamn semi truck and you double park and you're worried, you think I'm going to get towed? You might get a ticket, motherfucker, but ain't nobody coming to tow this bitch on a fucking 3 o'clock in the morning. It's just not going to fucking happen. Right. This is going to be an operation, right?
Yes.
And so you look at it's the same thing. You're not going to move that fucking thing. We got there right before it opened, a couple minutes before it opened, and there was already a line.
There was already a line.
We got in line, and then still people were behind us.
Lined up behind us, dude.
Then I saw, like, city workers, like those traffic controllers. They pulled up, and I'm like, oh, shit, we're not going to get our fucking carnitas. These motherfuckers are about to shut this whole fucking operation down, and fucking Hooter didn't pick me up last week where I could have tried them. Now the shit's going to be gone forever. I'm never going to have these fucking carnitas, right? Fucking traffic dude pulled double parks, which immediately means they're coming up here to fucking check these fools. Bro, they got in fucking line.
They got in line.
They got in fucking line. Not only that, more fucking city workers from different, like the Department of Water Power, whatever the fuck it was, they showed
Lots
up.
Lots of city workers.
They double parked, and they got in fucking line. And it's not like, you know, like a lot of restaurants, if you're a cop, they let you cut. If you're this, you're like, they're like, hey, go ahead. No, motherfucker. Get in line behind fucking Pepe over there. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And then there was like the neighborhood white boy who was in line. That you know he's a white boy, but he grew up there and he speaks Spanish and he's ordering fucking in Spanish, like he's speaking Spanish. It was, to be honest, dude, it was a total experience. The food, it didn't It was awesome that it was delicious, but just experiencing that whole thing, and then you go to your car and tailgate pretty much.
Yeah. Usually, so on Fridays and Saturdays, mm-hmm. it's kind of set up like the way it was that day. But during the week, like Monday through Wednesday, they have a cart. And when they have the cart where they had their setup, that's where they put up tables and you could eat there if you want. But since they didn't have the cart, they had the, like, you know, set up to where that wasn't moving. They didn't have room for the tables.
I'm going to tell you right now, like, usually when you go to something like that, it's a two-person operation.
Yeah.
One person 99% of the time. Sometimes two. You know, they're self-sustained. This thing is functioning like a full-blown fucking restaurant on the sidewalk, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
And you've got, like, I don't know if they're all family members. I don't know if they're fucking employees. But you got somebody handling the money. You got somebody taking the money and taking the fucking order. And then you, charging and taking the order. Then you got somebody else collecting the fucking money. Then you got somebody else packaging the shit. Then you got somebody else chopping the shit. Then you got somebody else.
On the tortillas.
And then who knows what's going on in the back. There's another whole fucking operation going in the back that you can't see.
Where they're cooking all of it.
Yeah.
And they're bringing all the meat from there to the front.
Bro, I was, it had just opened. And in the moment, just us and the people that were in front of us, there must have been a minimum of 7 to 10 pounds of meat sold.
Easy.
A minimum. 7 to 10 pounds of pork is a lot of fucking pork. That's just to start. How many pounds of pork are these dudes moving in a day? Like, I'd love to fucking ask them.
Yeah.
Because that's fucking, like, and people know it's good, obviously, because they're showing up to this thing. So anyway, just want to give a fucking quick little shout out to this operation. And I was telling the $20 chef about it, and he's like, this sounds fucking awesome. Like, because you can't do that everywhere.
No way.
There's no way.
You'll get shut down.
Go try to do it in Forth in Arizona and Santa Monica. I dare you.
Good luck.
You know? It's not going to happen.
And you know what? That place screams $20 chef, bro. Like, that's totally his fucking shit.
Uh-huh.
I could totally see him, like, getting out of bed, pulling up, getting in line, ordering a pound, going back home, tearing it up, dude.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, it was so good, dude. It was good that day, man.
It was fucking great.
Yeah.
I tore it the fuck up, dude.
Yeah.
Like, up.
Man, it was so good. So if you get to check it out, it's called Carnitas El Momo. And dude, you could go on Google Maps, you can search that shit, it'll take you right to it.
Yeah. That's the thing with Google Maps, dude. Mm-hmm. You know what movie I saw the other day? Yesterday.
What's that about?
It's about a dude who is the only guy on the planet who knows who the Beatles are.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Have you seen it?
I've never seen it, but I saw the previews for it.
It's fucking good.
And he's the one that starts singing them?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, like, it's so funny, dude, that it's almost like in the beginning you think he's in an alternate universe.
Mm-hmm.
And then I didn't like the ending. I didn't like the ending. But I will tell you this.
Oh, don't hold back now. Spoiler alert, McGee, dude.
Listen.
I'll tell you something right now. I was fucking pissed on Narcos, dude. Episode 8, 9, I was like, dude, this is all the shit my dad was telling me. I thought you were telling me shit like that happened outside that they didn't show, dude.
That was.
No, you weren't, bro. No, you were not, dude. I told my dad, he pulled up to my house, talked about, hey, did you finish Narcos? I was like, nah, I'm on episode 2. Oh, dude, it's fucking good, bro. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I can't wait to fucking finish it, bro. He's like, oh, no, dude, but it's good. And he starts telling me shit, and I'm like, man. Okay, oh, this shit must not be on the fucking Narcos. He told me all of episode 8, bro. I was like, bro, the fucking presidential shit, dude.
But that was common news.
I was like, oh, bro, this is narrated by Martin Moreno, bro. Oh, man.
Okay.
It was so good, though.
Did you finish it?
Yeah, I finished it. Thank God, dude. I was like, you know what? Fuck this. I'm going to power through next time, bro. I'm going to have to finish it all in one night. Pull up to the podcast, zombied the fuck out. But no more spoilers, dude.
It was so fucking good, dude.
Man, it was good,
so
dude.
Fucking good.
Holy fuck.
And, but then when you start realizing, okay, this is how NAFTA got done.
This is crazy.
This honestly, is how this got done.
It was so crazy. It's kind of like.
But here's.
What the f- how?
Okay, but here's the crazy part is that I was alive during. We were going to Ensenada when there was wanted posters. For the Arellano brothers. They had like the, you know, like the Osama bin Laden fucking wanted shit. That's what these dudes had. Like it that's was insane. Like, they, and that hasn't even happened yet. You know what I mean? Like they, it, the, like next season, the way it's that this season, good, oh, dude. This is like Game of Thrones, dude. Mm-hmm. This is like the fucking Latino Game
it's
of
100%,
Thrones.
Yeah, because now.
It's like the kings. Dude. It's like yep, kings yep, and who's, yep. And they're fighting for power. Yep. It's the same goddamn shit, except with fucking with drugs instead of fucking, you know, dragon fucking glass or whatever the fuck it was.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, saw yesterday.
Yesterday. Yeah.
And I saw it yesterday. Mm-hmm. It's called mm-hmm. Okay. I was trying to like say yesterday twice. It's like the Bronco too. I have a Bronco too. You have a Bronco too? So the fucking guy is like the only motherfucker that knows these fucking songs, dude. It's a world, as crazy as it sounds, like, even if you're not a Beatles fan per se, because a lot of people will say, I'm not a Beatles fan. A world without them would be so fucking, and they paint that picture of a world without them. Like the dude, like they buy him a brand new guitar and shit, and they're like, here, play. And he had gone through some traumatic shit, you know. And then he's like a great guitar like this. They're like, play something. He goes, deserves a great song, and so he starts fucking playing fucking, you know, Yesterday. And everybody around the table, dude. And they all live in fucking Liverpool, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And fucking everybody around the table is looking at him. And their jaws are dropped. And they're like, that's amazing. And he's like, yeah, it really is a great song. And they're like, when did you write that? And he's like, okay, come on, guys. I've been through a lot of shit. Stop fucking with me. No, it's really good. Really good. This is probably one of the greatest songs ever written. And they're like, oh, somebody's getting cocky. Dude, it is so
when
funny.
When does he realize that he's the only one?
I think like that. So he gets dropped off and that like he gets home because it's set in present day. Mm-hmm. And he goes on Google and he motherfucker puts the Beatles and a fucking picture of a Beatle comes out. And then he starts putting their songs and not like it, there's nothing like he put Sergeant Pepper. That's just it's a thing of pepper.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. So like there's nothing online. And he's like. So he fucking takes off, fucking goes back to one of the fucking chicks pads. And he's like, you really don't know who the Beatles are. She's like. No, you've never heard that song before. And he's just like. No, so then he starts fucking trying to remember all these fucking songs, right? Mm. And now he's fucking like, and all of a sudden, like, he's like fucking this, like, and he's about to quit. This motherfucker's about to give it all up. Like, he's just about ready to just like, hey, fuck it. We tried. I suck. I'm not going to make it in this fucking business. I fucking suck. And his parents fucking, they're like, you know, and so he's fucking playing like a song for the parents and the parents are talking, right? And he's like, would you guys just listen? And then the doorbell, like, they keep interrupting the song. And he's like, it's like you guys are interrupting fucking Picasso when he painted the blah, blah, blah. You know, it's like, this is, what are you fucking doing, you monkeys? It's a funny-ass fucking movie, to be honest. And so, even if you're not a Beatles fan.
It's good.
It's good because you start realizing all the songs that you have heard. Dude, they had, like, over 200 songs. I don't even know how many songs they had. I'm just making shit up, but I think it was I think it was over 200.
You know what's fucking hilarious, dude?
No.
My dad stays spitting out fake facts, bro. Does anybody check you? Bro, every time I say anything on this fucking podcast, so many people go into my DMs talking about, oh, bro, actually, you were wrong about this. Bro, if you motherfuckers don't fact check my dad, I'm going to be fucking pissed, bro. Do you ever get anything of that?
Not that I know of.
Oh, fuck me.
I've never seen any. But it's probably because most of the shit that I say is based on facts.
Yeah.
Bro, they did have a lot of goddamn songs. And then you realize how many of them you do know. And look, this is generational, you know, because now you look at somebody like, who's the chick that just won all the awards?
Lizzo.
No, you're a bad boy.
Fucking Billie Eilish.
They were shitting on her because she didn't know who, like, Guns N' Roses or Bon Jovi or somebody. She didn't know who they were.
Yeah.
And people are like, bro, why should she? She's fucking 19. Like, why should she know who the fuck those people are? Like, oh, Van Halen. She didn't know who Van Halen was. And you figure, you know, but you're fucking 29 and you grew up with my ass. So,
but I guess they look at it as like, how are you a musician and don't know? Yeah.
Yeah. Again, 19 years old, bro. Yeah. You got to figure.
I know you're a fan. I don't know, dude.
I'm not saying I'm a fan. I'm just saying it's not bad. Good art. There's so many fucking artists out there, dude, that there's so much new music. And I feel that it's easy to get stuck in the old music.
Look at that. She was born in 2001. Dude.
Do you see what I mean?
That's
dude?
Crazy talk.
Why would she know who Van Halen is? The last time they were relevant was 84.
Crazy talk.
You know what I mean? 94. Almost 20 years when she was born. That means, you know.
Right.
It's fucking hard. She's 18?
Yeah.
I'm fact checking you. She's 18.
What did I say?
You said 29.
Kept saying like 19.
Oh, you're 29.
No, you said 19.
I said 19. Yeah, 18, 19.
If I would have said they're 19, five people would have DM'd me. Hey, you dumb fuck. She's 18, not 19.
Oh, my bad. Anyway. What the fuck was I saying? It's like there's so much new music out there. And I feel like a lot of people get stuck. Like, a lot of people that listen to Paisa music, some of them are hip with the new shit that's out there. But most people that listen to Paisa music are what?
They go back.
They're in the classics. Yeah. They're out there in the fucking 60s and 70s and shit. You know what I mean? Like the old school, like the fucking Jose Alfredos and the fucking, you know, the old Chente and the, even Antonio Aguilar and the bandas, you know, the fucking old school ones. Because there's so many new ones.
Yeah.
And how do you, like, bro, Daddy Yankee's Gasolina came out in 04, dude.
That's crazy.
04, bro. It doesn't seem like that. That's fucking what? 16 fucking years ago? Bro. That's crazy talk.
That is crazy.
You know, because it seems like just yesterday.
Yeah.
And how much more music has come after that? You know, in that genre.
Yeah.
What are you stuck on?
I go back to just randomness, dude. I go back to random shit. So, like,
if somebody asked you what your favorite band is, what would you say?
I don't know.
You're stuck on an island for the rest of your life and you only got one CD.
Maybe Sublime.
Old school. Wow. Really? Mm-hmm. All right.
I like Sublime a lot. I like, dude, and you know what? I don't know, actually. I don't know. I can't say that. I don't know. I don't know. And that's the thing, dude. When I listen to music, like, you know how somebody, it's like, it's all hip hop or it's all country, or it's all like metal, or it's all fucking whatever.
Jazz.
I'm not like that, dude. I can't be that way. It's so weird. Like, I'm all over the place. Like, I listen to old Kanye. I listen to fucking Led Zeppelin. I listen to fucking Chalino. I listen to Chente. I listen to fucking Maná. I listen to Sublime Weezer. Fucking, it's
everywhere.
Which can't pick. Good.
And you know what's interesting is that Jack FM changed the game. Because iPods really changed the game.
Yeah, shuffle.
Yeah, because what happened was, like, back in the day, everybody, you tuned into the country's greatest hits, fucking right. Hip-hop and R&B, fucking blah, 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 blah. Jack FM came and said, people just want hits. It doesn't matter, you know, everybody knows most of, or back in the day, they used to know all of Kenny Rogers shit back in the day, you know, Garth Brooks, you
right,
know.
Right.
There's a generation out there with, you know, Brooks and Dunn and all those fools, you know. Shania Twain. You know, everybody knows fucking like a Pink Floyd song, you know. So Jack FM just, Snoop Dogg, you know, fucking, you know, all these songs that were hits that people resonated with. Fucking Jack FM just said, just fucking spin them, play everything. And a big part of your generation, you guys had the ability to do that. Could you imagine back in the day when it was... To be a well-rounded, you'd literally have to come from a musical background almost because...
would you get exposed to all of them?
Imagine having to collect vinyl because that was the only thing available in country, in blah, blah, blah. You'd have to be a specific collect to get every genre covered and have that. Only radio stations had that kind of a library available to them. Usually you had a bunch of country music, a bunch of this music, a bunch of that music. When you were able to condense all that and put pieces of it as you want into your playlist, it changed the goddamn world, man.
Yeah.
As far as how we listen to music, you're part of that generation. So, which is a great fucking thing. You know, I was really, really... sheltered with music, you know? So when I started discovering different types, I was like, what? Like, when I heard metal for the first time, it was just mind-blowing to me, you know? It went from Mexican music, like old-school Napoleon, Los Bukis, fucking all that shit, Vicente, you know, the classics, you know, that my dad used to sing and shit.
Juanga,
yeah, for sure. But then it went to fucking metal, which was just like, that was just a revolution in my head, in my ears. It was a revolution in my ears. And it just blew me the fuck away, and I was immediately fucking hooked. Because it was, like I said, the Spanish music or the 9690, who was playing fucking, you know, The Tide Is High by Blondie. Great fucking song, but it's not fucking metal. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's not the fucking electric guitars fucking screaming at your ass.
Yeah.
Anyway. I feel like I've been talking the whole goddamn time.
Well, you got gym stories, dude. You started going to the gym again. Dude. Pumped up. Today, fucking Mickey plays. Dude, this last Saturday, it was pretty much almost close to the last game. And it was so fucking hilarious, dude. It's so crazy because it feels like we haven't done the podcast in a long time. And I don't know what has happened, you know?
It's because there was a holiday on Monday.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
we should have, well, we didn't come in on Monday.
But this last Saturday, dude, the kids had a game, and did I already say that Micah played?
No.
I haven't said it on the podcast.
He hasn't played. Well, I mean,
that I threw his ass in?
We haven't been here since he played.
Since he did that?
Because that was Saturday.
Right.
Yeah.
Fuck, it feels like I have. It's so weird.
No.
Dude, this fucking guy. So when Saturday, fools were running late, and I only had four. And
so for the people that are tuning in for the first episode, this is the first time they found the Yo-Yo podcast. What the fuck are you talking about?
Oh.
Nice.
Oh, fucking 74 minutes in. And that's what we're going to fucking pull the reins back on, huh? That's where we need explanation.
So you coach the kids basketball. Four
fucking minutes of nonsense. And this is where people need explaining.
Because dude, you're just talking about it like everybody knows.
If somebody fucking held on to their fucking seats for 74 minutes, I guarantee you the little information of what I'm about to fucking explain, that's not where they're going to press pause and question what the fuck's going
on.
What
are you talking about, guys?
Unreal, dude.
Okay. So it's the last game, last basketball game.
Okay, so my name's Huda Moreno.
Huta.
Huta, yeah.
Fuck. Go, you fucker.
And your boy has three kids. A daughter who's six, a son who's three, and a son who's two. No.
Grew up in L.A. most of my life.
Unreal, man.
Okay. Oh, fuck me.
Fucking A. Okay, so the kids' fucking basketball game was this last Saturday, and only four kids were there at the start of the fucking tip-off. And the game before, dude,
yeah,
I just started the game with four kids, and Micah was there, so I should have fucking put him in. And so I learned from that, and this last Saturday, I didn't have a full squad, so I was like, yo, Mike, come in, bro. So this fool runs out there all fucking happy. And tip-off's there, and I line him up, and I'm like, yo, dude, don't fucking move until the ball moves. And he's like trying to fucking, just trying to soak it all in and trying to figure it out. This was fucking 2 years old, dude. He has no business on the court, bro.
You're just steady. You're like the coyote of kids basketball. You're a fucking human trafficker of fucking kids sports.
Bro,
you got no legal way to get there. We got you.
But the birth certificate says he was born yesterday. Who gives a fuck?
He could dribble. He's dribbling out of his mouth.
Bro, so I get this fool out there. Meeks is fucking. I literally have three of my own kids in the starting five, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, crazy talk. So Meeks is fucking jumping. I got another kid. I got Mateo's ass, another kid, and Mike, who's my youngest. That was two. And dude, we're playing. He's running up and down the court. Him and fucking Mateo are laughing their dick off, running back and forth, dude. It was pretty awesome to see him and Mateo having such a good time. And then kids started coming in. So I was like, oh shit, I got to take this fool out. And, bro, when I took him out, he was like, no, what the fuck? He didn't want to get out. So he sat down and I brought other kids in. And then, you and Bethel started chanting, Micah, Micah. And I was like, son of a bitch. And then, when you guys started chanting, Pillow was like, hey, put him back in. I was like, are you in your fucking mind? Are you out of your fucking mind?
Why do chants work, dude, bro?
Chants get people to do crazy shit right away. I was like, are you out of your fucking mind? This kid, first of all, he's not registered to play. Secondly, these kids fucking signed up and paid to be on the team. You think I'm going to sit them down to put Mike in? Are you out of your fucking mind?
Uh-huh.
So she's like, oh, fuck. Yeah, you're right. And, dude, it was a good-ass game. I'm trying to think. Oh, that's the Meeks assist. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's when she was passing heavy.
Yep.
I was telling her, yo, dude, you start passing. Fucking, you don't need to shoot every shot. Look up, and if there's somebody close to the basket, fucking dish it off, dude. And she did it, and boy, it was fucking awesome to see. And it was the best part of it was she was happy to pass it and see the ball go in just as much as she was when she fucking scores
like
a point.
Like, she gets it. Like, she knows, I got this to this fool, and he scored.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And so that was fucking awesome, man.
Well, studies show that at that age, you know what an assist. Mm-hmm. You start realizing what an assist is in the stats and things.
Yep.
You know what's funny, dude? Like, when she plays defense, she fucking shuts it down. Like, she reminds me of that kid at Sonora, Jacob.
Yeah.
That where he was like a defensive specialist. Jacob Sloan,
yep.
Dude, she has the same poses that that kid had. It's so weird. Like I saw it. And I'm like, what the that looks exactly like how that fool used to play. Even the way she positions her body is fucking.
What's
very
crazy
similar.
Is, dude, at Sonora, we were playing kids who played mm-hmm. at big time schools and even made it to the NBA. Like this kid named Derek Williams. He went to the U of A and then went on to be the second pick in the NBA. Dude, Jacob shut that fucking kid down. Like if you ask me now. Because I told Beto this story, and Beto was like, well, where's that kid now? And I'm like, dude, that's not the point of the fucking story, guy.
Right.
And so.
Like, he shut down fucking fools.
He used to shut shit down. Like, it wasn't even, like, if the other team had the best player, everyone knew. And it didn't matter whether the kid was a point guard or a center. That fucking guy was going to shut the kid down. It was fucking great to see. I used to love watching that fool play defense.
But she reminded me of him, which is like, which I'm trying to say is like, she's fucking kicking ass.
Yeah, she's fucking killing it, dude. And
I'm just saying that because she's my grandkid.
Yeah. So last time, the lady who runs the park invited her to play with the team that's in the higher division because they're going to have a tournament. And one of the teams only had four players. So she was like, hey, get the Meeks to play with them. That way they could have a full five. So that was on Tuesday.
Uh-huh. Tuesday?
Her game. Yeah. So
the game was not when she told you.
Yeah, she told me the week before. Mm-hmm. And then, and that's the reason why I had told her about the passing on Saturday. Because I thought, dude, it's going to be hard for her to get the shots that she's getting in the division she's at now. This next one up, she has to create shit.
And it's because 2 years older than her.
Right. And fucking huge. So Tuesday rolls around. We pull up to the gym. And we watched the game before her game with her new team, the older kids. And, dude, some of these kids are fucking 8 years old. And I kept Meeks back in her division because if you were born in 2013, you had to move up. And, dude, her birthday is November 29th. So she was going to be the youngest
Of all of them. Right.
Like, it's cool if you were born in 2013, but your birthday was in January. You know what I mean?
Correct. Because you're pretty much a year older.
Exactly. Right. Even if you had 6 months.
Right.
Like, say your birthday was in the summer.
And at that age, those months matter.
Are huge, yes, dude.
That's when you're stretching like crazy.
And so, like, you know, you could say she fucking stayed back, but really, like, it was a month difference
from everybody else.
So, fuck that. So, we watched the first game, and dude, during the season, this division, which is called rookie, they don't get called for traveling and a double dribble. And for the tournament, which is now going on, which was that Tuesday game, they started calling all of that. So all these kids who were used to doing it and shooting and scoring, it was all good. But now,
how many steps were these fools taking?
The refs were trying to be cool about it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if you touched the ball and then dribbled it again, they'd let you slide the first time, but the second you did it the second time, all right, they'd blow the whistle. And, like...
What about the traveling?
The traveling, it was... If you took more than, like, five steps, they're like, all right, motherfucker, bro.
Like, if you're running from fucking half court.
Or, like, if you weren't bouncing at it, like, say you caught the ball and then took two steps, they'd call it right away. Mm-hmm. Like, if you dribbled and then picked it up, then they'd let you slide a little bit. Mm-hmm. But if you weren't dribbling at all, then they were like, all right, motherfucker, that's enough.
Right.
And so I knew... And so did the lady at the park, which is the one who invited Meeks to go up because she knew Meeks can dribble.
Right.
She's not going to get called for those fucking violations. So we're watching these kids, and Meeks is nervous. She's like, fuck, these kids are big pups. And I was like, yeah, but it's all good. Look it. They keep getting the whistle blown because they don't know how to dribble. You know how to dribble. You're not going to do it. You got to just stay calm. So sure shit, her game comes up. And... it takes a while for the coach to, like, have her do things, right? Because he doesn't know what she can do.
All he's thinking is they're just filling up a
spot. Just exactly.
And it's a fucking chick.
And it's a little girl. Yeah. And you look at Meeks, dude, she's tiny, bro.
Right.
And so a little bit of time goes by, and I'm trying to not be that guy, but I'm becoming that guy who's fucking yelling shit from the stands.
A la Beto.
A la Willie Barcena. Fucking Beto Barcena hybrid.
Right.
And I'm Huda like,
Senna.
Yeah. Huda Senna. So
Huda Boot Senna.
Yeah. So I'm like yelling shit like, Mix, grab the rebound and dribble up court. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Shit like that. And so I see him see me saying that. And so finally.
So basically you're saying, Coach, yes, let her dribble up. Fuck.
Yes. Yeah. Because his kids keep getting called for fucking traveling and double dribbling. I'm like, dude, Meeks isn't going to do that. So finally he's like, hey, give her the ball. Let her dribble up court. So boom, she dribbles up. And after that, he's like, hey, keep giving her. Let her dribble up court. So she's dribbling up court. And she's creating shit. Every once in a while, she'll dribble into traffic. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, she's creating shit more than these kids. Because they can't even get a playoff because they keep fucking dribbling and double dribbling and traveling.
Right.
So, next thing you know, she scores a fucking point. Right? And then this fucking coach is like, wait, what the fuck is going on here, right? And even the other coach is like, wait, what the fuck? And even the dads were like, oh, shit, we're getting help now by this fucking little girl, right?
Right, right.
Halftime rolls around. It's the end of half. She's dribbling up court again. And, dude, the fucking opposing coach is losing his shit at this point because he's like, what the fuck? Somebody take – you hear him. Somebody take the ball away from her, which is like music to my ears. I'm like, yes, dude, let's fucking go.
Uh-huh.
And, dude, they start fucking fouling her. They start getting way more aggressive, but she's keeping her cool, yada, yada. The game is so intense, bro. It's back and forth, back and forth. And the last 2 minutes, you could full court press.
Right. And that's, I'm not going to ruin it, but it went to overtime, right?
No. Just kidding. There you go. Imagine if it did, though. Fucking spoiler alert, Moreno. Fucking guy. Dude, it's a close-ass game, and on the last 2 minutes, you could full court press, which these kids have never dealt with in their career, bro.
They don't know.
They have no idea. And so the coach that Meeks is playing with, he's like, hey, kids, run towards this fucking kid as soon as he gets the ball.
Right.
And this kid, he sees two kids running towards him. As soon as he gets the ball, he panics, bro.
Mm-hmm.
He's panicking every time. So they keep getting the ball. They keep getting the ball. They score. They end up coming back and winning the fucking game.
Fuck.
The end of the game happens. These dads come up to me. He comes up, hey, man, yo, your daughter can really play. We really appreciate you letting her play with us. I'm like, yeah, motherfuckers. You should have fucking given her the ball early. So all of them are like, thank you. Hey, you're coming next game, right? Thursday 7. Don't miss it. I'm like, dude, relax, bro.
I heard Beto was there saying thank you.
No, you're welcome.
You're welcome.
He was telling those dads. He was speaking for me. You guys are welcome. You're welcome. Is that your daughter? No, but you're welcome. Fucking guy. So she has two games tonight because it's her last game with the team, the Monstars, the team that she's on with Mateo, and then her new team. So, which has always been like my dream as a kid. Like, I wish
there's a doubleheader.
Oh, yeah, bro. Like, if I could just suit up and then another team needed me and put on another jersey and start playing again, like, that's, dude, there was nothing better than that, bro. I was telling fucking Busy Billy, he was like, oh, so you're going to do load management the first game, bro? Which is fucking hilarious, which I'm probably, since it's like the last game and she has a game right after, I'll let her fucking go off
there's
the first
only
quarter.
Fucking five players.
Yeah, then it's going to fucking suck nuts. Yeah. I'll throw Micah in for sure.
No.
Yeah, dude, I'll fucking sit Meeks and put in Micah.
What if the game's on the line?
Fuck it, dude. She has a bigger game where they actually win and lose.
So that was the first game where they actually kept score.
Yeah, and she was.
Well, how she liked that,
dude? She loved it. Yeah. She loved it.
So I'm gonna catch the game tonight.
Yeah, it's gonna be awesome, man.
I know you joke a lot. You joke around a lot about fucking calling yourself Father of the Year and Coach of the Year and shit.
Yeah,
but to be honest, like those kids, like when I was coaching, I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. You know, me and a couple of parents were trying to figure shit out because nobody else was available to do it.
Right.
But the fact that, you know, sometimes you get lucky and you get somebody who knows what the fuck they're doing. You know, there's kids, it's the end of the season now. There's teams where kids have no idea how to dribble. They have no idea which basket to shoot. They have no idea which way to go. They have no idea what the fuck is going on. Okay. And it doesn't mean that they're dumb. Nobody's taught them. Mm-hmm. Nobody's really taught them. They've just fucking let them go run around and hopefully fucking figure it out, you know? Or they teach them like they are not good. Not everybody's a good teacher, you know? And so it says a lot about your skills, because your team, most of those fuckers know how to dribble.
And we've been winning out, dude.
I'm
big turnaround.
Don't get cocky. I'm fucking
But dude, you know what's crazy? Like this week, I've been at the gym a lot because I've been working with Meeks, you know? And bro, I'm looking at other coaches practice. Dude, I saw this one coach practicing. Well, it was a practice.
Sure.
The coach was on the phone the whole time. And she told the kids to just shoot.
Just shoot.
Just shoot. The kids were just shooting over and over and over and over and over. Nowhere, like, she didn't have cones in place or anything. She was on the phone, like, pacing back and forth and in circles and shit, just chilling, shooting the shit on the phone while the kids were just shooting.
And the parents didn't say shit.
The parents didn't say shit. I was like, bro, that's my fear.
Yeah, that you put her in a team like that. And I get it. I get it. I'm trying to give you props here. That's pretty awesome, because you've actually taken the time to make sure that these kids know by the time they go somewhere else, they'll at least know the basics, which is so fucking important, you know. And then that's Coach of the Year, and then you call yourself Father of the Year, and I'm like, listen, fucking Micah and Mateo are hard to rein in. You know, these motherfuckers just wanna. Are these things gonna fight? Now you crash in. They want to crash into shit. They want shit to fucking. They're little destructos if you let them, you know. And it's hard to rein them in. And the other day when they busted out the Legos and you got on the ground and you built that fucking little thing for them, and then you had the car going fucking go through that. And it kept. Not only did it keep them fools busy and entertained and not destroyed. Well, Mateo still wanted to destroy shit. He's like, I crash into it. No, you're not gonna crash into it, you fuck. Go just handing out fucking jobs to do with the car, right?
Yeah.
And it just, they were having so much fun doing it that Meeks, who's a little older, is like, hey, where do I I want to do it. Then fucking Naomi goes out there, you know, and she's like, well, so I'm like, you're fucking really good with kids. And that's a special talent, dude, because just like that lady was coaching with the phone, there's a lot of parents that would have been on the phone, play with those fucking things, and don't kill each other. Like, I could care less. Like, the ones that take the time to get on the floor with them and create an environment of fucking playing with them, it's like, you know what? That's fucking, it was like, your parenting skills are way better than a lot of parents that I grew up with, a lot of me as a parent, a lot of parents that just, you know, they don't know what the fuck is, and it's not their fault. Again, it's what they've seen. Mm-hmm. A lot of parents grew up, a lot of people that are parents today grew up hearing people scream, people shout, people not be there, people this, people that. And, you know, they didn't figure it out. I think you had enough role models in your life that just wasn't just like one person. It takes a goddamn village is what it does, that you picked up on all the things that are good. And you also had a lot of bad examples, you know, and you're able to say, okay, this works. But to be able to handle kids from 2 to fucking 11 and keep them entertained with the same task, it's damn near impossible. So I just want to say, fucking dudes, you are an amazing fucking dad and an amazing fucking coach. You know.
Well, we'll see tonight, dude, when fucking Meeks is, if she struggles or not.
Well, here's the thing, though. You didn't coach this team. You can't take...
No, bro. The biggest fucking slap in the face. Tuesday before that game, that team had a practice at 5, mm-hmm. but the coach who coaches the team wasn't going to coach the practice. He had somebody from the park coach the practice, right? Okay. So I'm fucking working on Meeks. We get there a little bit early, and I'm working with Meeks. And the fucking guy who works at the park is like, hey, so do you want to coach the team? And I said, what? And he said, yeah, well, you're coaching your daughter. Do you want to just do it for everybody? And I said, this isn't my team. And he said, right, but she's playing with them, right? And I said, bro, this is her first practice here. You think I'm going to run a practice for everybody who I've never met the whole season? And he's like, well, I just see you're practicing with her. And I'm like, do you usually do the practices? And he was like, well, yeah. And I was like, so then why would today be different? Well, I'm just saying, I see you practicing with her. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I showed up early to practice with her. But why? What makes you think I'm going to take over the whole practice? I mean, what? Yeah, I'll practice them. I'm like, bro, dude, are you fucking crazy?
Hey, bro, I see you tearing up that chick over there. You're going to tear up all these other chicks over here? Yes, I am!
Hey, I see you being a dad over there. You want to be a dad for my kid, too? Like, what the are you fucking out of your mind, guy?
I see you washing your car over there.
Yeah, you gonna wash? You want to wash my car? I just see you doing a really good job of it, so I figured.
He probably thought, like, that you were part of the team, maybe.
But I told him. Because, first of all, he tried to kick me out. He was like, hey, man, we're having a practice here. And I'm like, yeah, dude, she just got added to the roster. Oh.
How was he afterwards?
Well, he doesn't give a fuck because he just works there and he's just filling in for the practice. But he wasn't a coach. Like he would.
I see. He's not part of the team. No, in and of itself.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
But the thing is, he usually runs the practices at 5 for that team. Gotcha. But he thought I was gonna do the job for him with a bunch of fucking.
He's probably getting paid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, won't you take over this? I'll be right back. You got this, right, player?
Hey, you know how to fucking put shit on shelves, right? Okay, you see all these fucking canned soups? So just keep on doing what I'm doing.
Oh, my God. That's fucking awesome.
It's fucking God.
I see you're doing a great job. Why are you depriving these other kids, you fuck?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, like, come on, man. That's crazy. Shit, you got anything else with her?
Nah. I was gonna shit on Beto, but that's enough.
Brawly March 20th. We'll see you guys out there at Inferno. The homie George Perez is gonna join the show. Also, take a listen to No Te Asustes podcast. No Te Asustes podcast on iTunes and on Spotify, everywhere you listen to podcasts. Check out Hooters sports show Could Have Gone Pro with Hooter Moreno, where he breaks down all things sports. Are you still in negotiations with ESPN, or how did that go?
No, they got it. They stay getting offended. Look, here's deal, dude. Could Have Gone Pro. Mm-hmm. I pride myself,
yes,
on offending everybody. There's nobody that's safe. Okay, so I don't just stop at a specific type of person or race. Like, everybody gets it, even including myself, dude. I it's okay to make fun of things, and that's all right, bro. And look, it's not just specific. I feel if you just make fun of specific things or specific people, that's bullying. But if you spread it out, it's all good.
It's globaling. Mm-hmm.
Globaling. Yeah. So, if you don't get offended easy...
I got one then! Globaling!
So, if you don't get offended, and you like to get offended, if you think offensive shit is funny, then go check out the Could Have Gone Pro.
It's not that fucking offensive. Dude, you make it sound like you're fucking out there goddamn, you know, doing fucking your broadcast on a goddamn Speedo without shaving your goddamn nuts. Today we're talking about balls. Yeah. The sports show. Oh, what? You're offended? Well, fuck off.
You must not get your balls touched.
Thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of the Yo 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 podcast with Martin and Hooter.
Rate and review, please.
Yes, hit us with the rate and review. Thank you for the latest ones. As a matter of fact, we're going to read we'll read them next episode, the latest ones that have come in. We really appreciate them. We thank you guys for listening. We thank you guys for fucking staying with us. Got 200 episodes.
Yeah, 200 episodes.
So again, thank you very much. Have a great fucking great rest of your day, night, evening, morning.
Peace. I think I can overdrive it just a little bit.